This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving around. Okay, so the adventure continues with the car. And you're going to hear that sound this whole time. Sorry. I'm in my wife's van, and it has this weird thing it's doing with its fan. Maybe not. I turned down the air a little bit and it quit doing it. So maybe that's the plan. Anyways, I'm actually in the parking lot of Walmart at the moment, and I'm trying to back out, and someone is trying to keep coming forward. So let me get out of the airway, and then let me see if I can get this car backed up. So I kept hearing, it'd be about a week from the transmission guy. And so I finally called him and said, I gotta have a car, sir. What's the situation here? I'm just having trouble getting to it. And he said, if you need to take it to somebody else, I understand. I said, well, let me call around and see. You never want to burn your bridges. That's a bad idea. So I just said, let me call around. Let me see what we got. If I can find somebody to take it sooner, great. Otherwise, I'll just wait it out. So I called around. I called to Ace's Transmission Service, who could get it done in about a week. But instead of $25 to $2,800, it was going to be $4,800. It's like, whoa. Whoa. Now we are getting into more used car territory. But it would have a 100,000-mile warranty on it. Blah, 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 blah. So, but $100,000 or $4,800, that's steep. So I said, okay, thanks. And I tried to call American Transmission, and they don't even work on a 1998 Lincoln Continental because they can't get parts for it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I called the transmission guy back and I said, everyone is really busy. He said, yeah. He said, they really are. I said, so as soon as you can get to it, I would appreciate it. He said, well, I'll try to get it in the shop this week. I said, okay, that'd be great. I need to call him back today and find out what's going on. So fingers crossed, maybe he got it into the shop this week, hopefully. And then, if he can actually get parts, and he didn't seem to be worried about getting parts, so I don't know if he just has a bunch of old transmissions laying around because he's been in business forever, or if he just goes gets a transmission from somebody and rebuilds it. I don't know, but we'll just see. So because of that, I didn't actually rent a car this week. I thought, I can stay home and work. That's the glory of my job. So I'm just going to stay home and work. And we're already working from home on Wednesdays. So I'm just going to stay home and work. Did that. It's fine. It's fine. I have all my meetings on Teams and it's fine. So I'm probably going to do that next week as well, which means I'm not actually driving home. So probably next week I'm going to do this on Friday as well. It is Friday today. I'm a little late on getting this podcast up, but, and then there's a whole other thing. We borrowed Nana's car for a couple of days because there was a big snowstorm and, well, big, 4 or 5 inches. They were talking about 8, and at first they were kind of talking about 12, and then it kind of got down to 8, and then we actually had 4. So, so hard to predict the weather in the Ozarks. It's just, we're in a weird spot. But anyway, so that was exciting. It did blanket everything in snow, made everything really, really pretty. I miscalculated a little bit for small groups because I was sure there was going to be more sun and more heat between the time the snow came down and small groups actually formed up on Thursday night. There wasn't, so I was out chopping ice off of the sidewalk and throwing down lots of de-icer and stuff, but I've got some more de-icer, and we made it. I escorted everybody to and from the house. No one fell down and broke a hip. Yay. So that's always a good day. So, and then we had a really nice small group. Writing is going fine. I'm actually right on track this week, surprisingly enough. I have 2,000 words to do today, 2,500 words to do tomorrow. I think I know where I'm going with this book. I think I have plenty of stuff to finish out the book. Lots of complications to get resolved. So that's all working fine. Hopefully here in another 5 weeks or so, I will have book 18 roughed in, which is the hard part. And then I get to do a cover and get to do a little editing. And then I do my taxes. And then we start book 19. So I'm still working along on National Hemp Day. And that's actually seems to be going okay. I've got, I think, 3 more rope junctions to do, where the 5 strands cross 5 other strands in a crisscross, and so that has to be sewn up with black hemp twine. I got 3 more of those to do. They take an average of 30 minutes apiece, so I got about 1.5 hours to do there. And then the next thing is I have to get it on and get it all adjusted. The legs are in pretty good shape because I've had them on and off a couple of times and kind of gotten them in place. The body is in good shape, but I need to actually cinch it up. So I've left it loose, but I have a plan for cinching it all up, and I've tested a little bit, and that seems to work. I'm doing the arms right now, and I suspect the arms are too cinched right now, but that's okay. One end of the arms, of each arm, is just loose rope at this point. So all that means I need to do is fish that rope back down in. There aren't that many junction points. Fish it down, loosen it up, loosen the whole thing up, slap it around a little bit. The way I'm doing this, you can make adjustments after the fact, and so I've got to get it all on, get the chest tightened down to where it needs to be, and then get the arms in and get them kind of slapped around where I want them to be, and then you can figure out that final pattern where those things cross over my chest and then go around and back. And in back, there are tightening loops all the way down that are just a loop of rope with a slip knot holding the loop together so that you can pull the rope more in or more out. And so that's one of the tightening mechanisms that I have on this. I can fish either direction, tighten up the rope. And then what I'm going to do is it's the ropes that come off the arms, they're going to loop around back. And then they're going to go down my back and lace through all those loops. And then, you know, we'll tie it off at a bow tie at my hips in back. And then that'll be it. And then the only other thing that needs to be done on the hemp costume is I've got to make like a little macrame wall hanger just to kind of go in front, kind of like a little loincloth. Give people something else to stare at. So, but I have one more piece of rope, and I found a pattern for a macrame wall hanging, very simple. And so I'm just going to take that piece of rope, and then I'm just going to divide it up into the parts it needs to be divided into, and just make myself a little macrame wall hanging, and that'll be that. So it looks like I'm on track for this. And surprisingly enough, I think everything's, it's going to be fine. So it's interesting. I had pulled another topic about batteries for today because of things that are really going to pop in 2023. I think we are going to see batteries pop in 2023. It just looks like that's going to be the thing. Because there's a lot of people working on a lot of different battery technologies, and one of them is going to pan out. And most of them are cheaper, easier to farm the materials. They don't quite have the weight to energy ratio, but there's a lot of applications where you don't have the lithium need for lithium stuff. And there are actually some of these batteries that really are quite remarkable in terms of how close they get to lithium, and yet they're, oh, sadness. Oh, I just slid, sorry. I just slid the recorder off. I slowed down too much. I'm in my wife's van. I'm not used to the dashboard. Sorry. hope that didn't scrape anybody's ears. So batteries are really kind of by the thing. But then I ran across this article yesterday. And I was like, what? And so the name of this article is the CEO of the company behind AI chatbot ChatGPT says the worst case scenario is for artificial intelligence. The worst case scenario for artificial intelligence is, quote, lights out for all of us. So I've mentioned ChatGPT. I have more friends talking to me about ChatGPT. I mean, it's astonishing for what it can do. It's astonishing. So Sam Altman was in an interview and he was asked about best and worst case scenarios. And he said he thinks the best case scenario for artificial intelligence is unbelievably good. So he said for the best, he said, I think the best case is so unbelievably good that it's hard for me to even imagine. I can sort of imagine what it's like when we have just unbelievable abundance in systems that can help us resolve deadlocks and improve all aspects of reality and let us live our best lives. But I can't quite. I think the good case is just so unbelievably good that you sound like you're a really crazy person to start talking about it. Okay, yay. Well, that's good. His thoughts on the worst case scenario, though, were pretty bleak. The bad case, and I think this is important to say, is like lights out for all of us, Altman said. I'm more worried about an accidental misuse case in the short term. I think it's impossible to overstate the importance of AI safety and alignment work. I would like to see much, much more happening. Then I got tickled because the next paragraph of the article is, experts have warned that ChatGPT could be abused for purposes like carrying out scams, conducting cyber attacks, spreading misinformation, and enabling plagiarism. Okay, so really, really, the examples you give for how AI could be misused, or chatbot could be misused, ChatGPT, is scams, cyber attacks, spreading misinformation, oh the horror, and enabling plagiarism. Yeah, this person apparently had not heard about this ChatGPT-like system that was brought up without any constraints, and the guys who brought it up said, can you give us a list of for recipes on, like, all the really bad ways to kill people? Within 6 hours, that AI had generated 40,000 recipes for how to kill humans. And people evaluated it, and according to the report I was reading, there were some in there that were just as bad as the worst nerve agents that the United States has ever developed. You want worst case scenarios? It is lights out for all of us. Because the problem is, as I was talking to my buddy today, just over breakfast, and we were talking about this, the problem is not necessarily ChatGPT or the AIs, because what these systems are is these systems are aggregations of human knowledge and projections on human knowledge and this beautiful structuralization of human knowledge. And what that will really benefit, because it'll be interesting to see AI and where it goes in terms of its motivations and those types of things, or its stated motivations. But at the end of the day, it's going to be humans that are going to be taking all these tokens that ChatGPT spits out. Because really, all that's happening in ChatGPT is you are feeding it a bunch of tokens that it does not understand. It doesn't know what a cat is. It can tell you what a cat is, but it's not really telling you what a cat is. It's taking the token CAT, and it's running into this huge matrix of stuff it has with the token definition. and it doesn't know what a definition is. It's just running that in there, and it's spitting back a bunch of tokens that say a cat belongs to this genus and blah, 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 blah. But it's just spitting back tokens. It doesn't know what those tokens means. It is we humans who take those tokens then, interpret them, and give them meaning. That's all ChatGPT is doing presently. That may change in the future, but that's all it's doing presently. So in that case, it all comes down to humans. What will humans do with this type of AI? And I will guarantee you, it will not be good. Because all you gotta do is look around with what humans are not only doing with a bunch of tokens, but their intelligence. Just this past week, I think it was just this past week, Time's Up. Time's Up. That was an organization that was put together to fight Harvey Weinstein. Time's Up. Got all these high-powered, influential actresses to make ads for them. Time's up. We're not going to be abused like this anymore. We're not going to put up with this. We're going to change the atmosphere in Hollywood, and we're going to make sure this never happens again. And they were just spewing tokens that people then were hearing and interpreting and providing virtue and righteousness to the people who were spewing all the tokens. But there was no virtue and righteousness there. There was just a way to make money. So Time's Up raised something like, I don't know, $30 million. You know where all that $30 million went? Well, they threw themselves a bunch of fundraising parties. They threw themselves a bunch of strategy retreats. They never actually implemented anything, but they paid people a lot of money in salaries. And two of the women at the top of the organization ended up defending Andrew Cuomo and launching attacks against his accusers. Yeah, so they're gone. And in case you have any doubt what pharmaceutical companies are doing or going to do with something like a ChatGPT. So Project Veritas, who is the Director of Research and Development for Strategic Operations and mRNA Scientific Planning. Project Veritas got together with this guy. His name is Jordan Walker. Jordan Tristan Walker. Project Veritas somehow got together in a room with this guy where this guy was talking and opening up. And again, he is Pfizer's Director of Research and Development for Strategic Operations and mRNA Scientific Planning. Now, this guy may say that he was just joking, but I don't see why anybody would joke about this in the first place. They have him on video as saying, quote, "You know how the virus keeps mutating? Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so that we could focus on, so we could create, develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you can imagine, no one wants to be having a farming company mutating effing viruses. So we're like, do we want to do this? So that's like one of the things we're considering for like the future. Like maybe we're going to create new versions of the vaccine and things like that." So this guy is seriously saying, well, we could just mutate the vaccine for ourselves, and then we'd be able to make new vaccines, or mutate the virus ourselves, and then we'd be able to make new vaccines for it. Because the whole organization is psychotic. It's psychotic. And the people up at the top, this is the realm they work in. Well, how do we make more money? Sure, let's mutate a virus. That way we could sell more vaccines. That makes perfect sense to them. Now then, you put a tool like ChatGPT, especially ChatGPT on steroids, in the hands of those kind of peoples? Yeah, I think we can figure out where this is going. So, thankfully, we have Jesus, and thankfully, we are only in a temporary position right here in this land, in this current existence. And Jesus is good, and he will be with us, and life is good, but let's not pretend that any big organization that gets over so many dollars coming in isn't psychotic in some way. This is Phil Farron, and I am finished driving around.